Blog Talk Radio.
The Bible's already up, waiting for it to come up. Let me look up something in 2 Kings real quick. Okay, so I found what I'm looking for. All right, so I want to greet everybody in Tao Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, said Jesus the Christ. Pray everybody has had a blessed day on today, and that you know, were able to partake in the Word of Yah or spend time with the Most High, one way or the other. As I said before, we're going to be finishing with Luke chapter 9, start of the ministry of Messiah. And we left off with him setting his sight on Jerusalem. But in the next verse, we have something that, you know, we need to go over. So that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, whether you're in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any communist bloc country. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. That being said, may have the ladies to cover their heads, men, uncover your heads, and shalom, Sister Mary. Glad to see you could join us.
Shalom.
Shalom. Let's do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith reads as follows. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, Father. We give you honor and we give you praise. We worship you, the Yah Elohim. We worship you, Father, and we extol you, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You are our Elohim, Father, and you alone will we bow down to and worship. You and to you alone, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you. 10 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 times. Hallelujah to you, Father. And glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. And amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Our song for today.
I'm I get so excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high to worship you. My need, all praise. Up high, to worship you, my need. I vow to be humble, yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise, I raise, to worship you. Bow down. All praise to you, up high, to worship you, yeah. I need you, I need you, yeah, I need you. Yeah, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. I really need you.
Whatever the reason, they just never ever receive it. And we end end up in like verse somewhere in the 40s. In the 50s. It has to be the late 40s. Where he tells them to let this sink into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And they still don't want to hear this. And this is the same thing that we go through today with a lot of our brothers and sisters. Then we ended up in verse 52 where he was telling them that, you know, his eyes were set and it came to pass. When the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem because he'd already told them that he's supposed to die, but somehow they hear that, but they don't hear that. And so they are like conflicted. In the next verse, verse 52, and he sent messengers before his face. These messengers are really not identified until Luke chapter 10, okay? And so we're going to jump ahead to Luke chapter 10 to find out who these messengers are that he sent ahead of himself. And then we'll come back to Luke chapter 9, and then we'll go into 2 Kings and come back, okay? So we're going to do a little bit of hopping. Go to Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, Yah appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. So these are the ones he sent before his face to go wherever he was going to go. He sent 70, two by two, just like he sent the disciples out earlier and told them to go. Now he told these to go into every city where he would go. His disciples, he told, only go to Israel. But he sent in these 70 even unto Samaria. Okay? So I want to go to 2 Kings right now, chapter 17. 2 Kings, chapter 17. And in 2 Kings, chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 24. And remember that when we come to the woman in Samaria, the woman of Samaria doesn't say what her ethnicity is. Just says a woman of Samaria. Okay, and I want to show us where a lot of our people get their understanding from. In the scriptures, but this is not the total scriptures. So 2 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, underline Babylon, and from Kuthah, and from Avah, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim. So he brought men from those other places. They had conquered all those places. Okay, and placed them in the cities of Samaria. Now, Samaria at the time was just, it was known as Israel. But when the king of Assyria conquered Israel, he renamed the region after the capital city of Israel, which was Samaria. And so he renamed the whole region Samaria. So now, instead of these being known as the cities of the northern kingdom or Israel, they are known as the cities of Samaria. Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So they usually get their understanding from this chapter that the king of Assyria replaced all of Israel with these people. Okay? But that is not so. In the Chronicles, you have to take the Chronicles with this, Chronicles chapter 30, we read about the remnant of Israel that escaped the kings of Assyria. And they were in their own, still in their cities in the northern kingdom. When the northern kingdom got conquered, some of them still stayed there. So when it comes to the lifetime of Messiah, 400 or 500 years have passed. These people are still there. These people from Babylon and Qatar and Ahava and Hamath and Sabarvan, they are still there. But so are the children of Israel that escaped from the kings of Assyria. They're still there, there in some of their cities. Okay? So Messiah sends out 70, two by two, into every city where he was going to go to. Okay? Let me look up a verse real quick. And you'll have to excuse me. I'm sort of piecemealing this together as we go. He sends them out two by two into every city where he was going to go. We just read that in Luke chapter 10. Okay. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9 real quick. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we should be in about verse 58, somewhere in there. So we were in 52. Luke chapter 9, verse 52. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans. Now, you got to stop right there for a minute, because we're early in Luke. The Most High has not told any of the apostles, any of the disciples, any of them that followed Messiah, he has not told them to go into the cities of Samaria. He has not told them to go to any of the Gentiles. The gospel has not been released to the Gentiles. But we just read in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 and 25, that the king of Assyria replaced Israel with the people from these other nations. Okay, but there were people from Israel that had escaped the king of Assyria, escaped capture by him. Okay, and so when Messiah sends these messengers into the village of the Samaritans, it's not to those people from those other countries. It's to the remnant of Israel that escaped from the kings of Samaria. So let's go to 2 Chronicles real quick. 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. And this is the letter from King Hezekiah. Now, we went over this before, but I'm going to go over it real briefly so that we understand that how these chapters are tying together and how this is what Messiah was born into. This is what he sent, not his 12 disciples in 70, that we're going to go and preach and prepare the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? And they were located in the northern kingdom. So I'm going to read this real quick, and then we're going to go back. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, starting in verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. So when we read this, we think, oh, all Israel is there. No, all Israel has been taken captive. And there is a remnant. All Israel in this case is the remnant. Okay, but we're going to let it tell us. So you'll say, Brother Miles said. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and to Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Yah at Jerusalem, to keep the Passover of Yah, Elohim of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover the second month. We know they kept it the second month because they missed the first month. They had not been sanctified. And for they could not keep it at the time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. They were not keeping it. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the pass over unto Yah, Elohim of Israel, at Jerusalem, for they had not done it for of a long time in such sort as it was written. So as it's written in the law, they had not been keeping it. Jeroboam wouldn't let them come to it, and Israel wasn't keeping it either. The priests weren't even sanctifying themselves, and the people weren't gathering themselves to Jerusalem. Okay? But in the meantime, the king of Assyria, Salamander, has conquered the northern kingdom. So this letter that we're reading from King Hezekiah to Israel is to the remnant. Let's keep reading. So verse 6. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. And according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto Yah, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he will return to the remnant of you, those that escaped, that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So I want you to understand that there were some of our forefathers that escaped out of the king of Assyria's hand. And Hezekiah is writing a letter to them. These are the same people who are in the land in the day that Messiah comes. Okay? So when he sends the 70 2x2 to all the nations where he's going, and he sends them into a city of Samaria, he's not sending them to the ones that were escaped from Babylon, the ones that were transplanted from Babylon or Qatar or from Sephardim or from any of the lands that the king of Assyria transplanted people in. He's sending them to these people, the ones that escaped from the king of Assyria. Now, if you continue to read in chapter 30, then you're going to find that they returned into their city in the north, those that had escaped. And they were there, and they were mixed with these people that had been transplanted. Okay? And they understood their heritage. They understood that they were the seed of Abraham. The woman at the well understood this and proclaimed this. This is who I am. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm not from Qatar. I'm not from Sephardim. I'm not from Babylon. I'm not from any of the lands that the Assyrians transplanted people in. My history is Israel. Now, the reason that this is important is because Messiah is not sending the 70 to the Gentiles. The gospel is not ready to be released to the Gentiles. It is to be sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Messiah grew up among them. He knew exactly where they were at. This is those people, the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hands of the king of Assyria. They are considered Israel. And the Most High, through Hezekiah, tells Hezekiah to make them an ultimatum. If you will return to me, and if you will go to the Passover, all of you, then I will bring those that I caused to be taken out of the land, I will bring them back into the land. And I will remove those that were transplanted. So I'll bring back your brothers and your sisters and their children that have been taken captive to the land of Assyria, the land of the Medes. But they laughed them to scorn. They laughed at them and said, we ain't doing that. Some of them came, a very few, but the vast majority of them said, we ain't doing that. They are considered to be Israel. The ones that were cut off, that remain cut off, they never, ever return to the northern kingdom, ever. They never return. They were cut off, and they were never to be considered Israel anymore, no matter where they went at in the world. They were Hebrew, but they were not Israel. And that's what we got to understand. It doesn't matter what really happened to them. Their kinfolk, the one who escaped, they laughed the Most High to scorn and caused those people to be cut off, not ever returning. They mixed with the Medes. They mixed with the Assyrians. They mixed with anybody in the world. Okay? But the one that the Most High considered to be Israel were the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. That's Israel now. And that's who Messiah is sending the 72. And so you won't hear that the gospel has been released to the Gentiles. Messiah is sending the 70 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he knows where they're at in the northern kingdom. So he prepares to send out to them so that the gospel is preached to them, so that he can go to them. So let's go to John, the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4, and let's start in verse 1. So that we can put this together, okay? When therefore Yah knew how the Pharisees had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more than John. Now, you read this, my brothers and sisters be talking about, you know, Messiah baptized all these people. Messiah did not baptize all these people. Messiah baptized the 12. Okay? That's who he baptized. And then they began to baptize other people. Though Messiah himself baptized not, but his disciples. Messiah didn't baptize all these people, but the rumor was going around that he was baptizing all these people. They were being baptized in his name. But the disciples were baptizing the people in his name. Messiah baptized the disciples. The disciples baptized the people. Okay? So, verse 1 again. When therefore Yah knew how the Pharisees had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more disciples than John, though Yeshua himself baptized not, but his disciples, that's who he baptized, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must need go through Samaria. I got to go through Samaria. Why? Because that's where the lost sheep are at. That's who he came for. So I must need go through there. But he's already sent 70 others. Everywhere he's going to go, into every city that he's going to go into. This is how this lady knows of Messiah. This is how she knows to expect him. This is how she knows about the gospel. The 70 that Messiah sent out ahead of him into every city, they went there first. And so he's going to tell his disciples, I'm going to read this so we can get some understanding of what he's saying. He's telling his disciples, you are going to reap where you have not sown. You didn't do the groundwork here. You didn't do the footwork here. The 70 did it. Now, he's not going to tell them the 70 did it, but the 70 did it. The disciples are going to come back later because he tells them, don't go into Samaria. His 12, don't you go into Samaria. These 70 others are going to go into Samaria. And then when it's time for the gospel to be released to the Gentiles, then you're going to come into Samaria and you're going to reap. Stephen's going to come into Samaria and he's going to actually preach to the Samaritans first. In Acts chapter 8, he's not preaching to the Gentiles at this point. The Gentiles don't receive salvation until Acts chapter 10. Okay, so let's read this. And he must needs go through Samaria. I got to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So Jacob's well is there. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria. It don't say what her ethnicity is. It just says a woman of Samaria. But the truth of the matter is, she is not a Gentile. She's going to testify of herself who she is. Messiah don't say, oh, you're a liar. Because the gospel is not released to the Gentiles yet. So this is not a woman of Sephardim or a woman of Qatar or a woman of Babylon. This is not a transplant. Okay, so let's read what she says. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So none of his disciples are around. He's there at the well. He asked this woman, give me to drink. And she's going to say, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dwellings with the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans, as far as the southern kingdom is concerned, they continue to practice paganism. Doesn't matter whether they are their fellow brothers or they are the transplant. Because when we read in Acts chapter 17 all the way to the end, these people made monuments every place within Jerusalem and in the northern kingdom, but every place in the northern kingdom, they made monuments to their gods, and it lists their gods. So they feared Yah, but they continued to worship their own gods. Okay, and the children of Israel, the remnant, also did the same thing that these people were doing, because they taught them how to do it. They taught them how to build the monuments in the high places and how to worship Molech. And it was the poor among them that was doing it. Okay, so this is the environment that Messiah grew up in, but this is also the environment that this woman of Samaria grew in, up in, but she's a Israelite. So let's prove this. So she asked him, how are you asking me for a drink? And I'm a woman of Samaria, and y'all don't have nothing to do with us. How are you asking me for a drink? Which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But the Samaritans aren't all trans. There are those that escaped from the king of Assyria that continue to live there, have children, marry, so forth and so on, until the time of Messiah. So they are still there. Okay. Then Yeshua answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Elohim, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, he did not offer salvation to any Gentile. That's rule number one. I did not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Rule number two, he never offered salvation to any Gentile at this point. It was not time. So when he tells her, if you knew who I was, who was talking to you, you would have asked me for this living water, and I would have given it to you. Why? Because you're one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's going to share with her. He's going to tell her some things that he would not tell a Gentile. He wouldn't even tell the Sadducees and the Pharisees or the scribes. He says, because they don't really need a doctor. But these people need a doctor. Let's continue to read. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. You ain't got no pail. You ain't got no rope. You ain't got nothing to draw no water with. And the well is deep. From whence? From where then hast thou that living water? Where are you going to get the living water from since you ain't got nothing to draw with? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? So she's telling you who she is. I am a Hebrew Israelite. I am one of the ones that escaped from the kings of Assyria. I am a descendant of them. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Jacob didn't give the well to the Assyrians or to the Sephardians or to the Babylonians or the Qatars or anybody else that escaped, that were transplanted. He gave it to the seed of Israel. So she's telling you who she is. But when a lot of my brothers and sisters read this, taught by their elders, that you know, this woman was taught that she was a Hebrew Israelite. No, she wasn't taught that she was a Hebrew Israelite, that she was a Gentile and taught that she was a Hebrew, that she's a Gentile. No, she's a Hebrew Israelite. And we know that from 2 Chronicles chapter 30, where they come from. She's a Hebrew. And Messiah is going to her. And he's going to tell her something that he would not share with the Gentiles. But it's further proof as to who he's talking to. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Are you greater than him? Yeshua answered and said, whosoever drinketh of the of this water shall thirst again. So if you drink this water from this well, you're going to get thirsty again. But the water I'm going to give you, you won't thirst again, not spiritually. He's not discerning that yet, that this is what he's talking about is spiritual. Okay. He's thinking about the water at the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Because I'm going to tell you how to get back to the Most High. That's the water I'm going to share with you. That's the knowledge I'm going to share with you. Okay? I didn't share this with the Pharisees. I didn't share this with the Sadducees. I didn't share this with the scribes. But I'm going to share it with this woman at this well. Okay? Why? Because she is one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Hey, give me some of that. So I'll never get thirsty again. I ain't never got to come back to this well and draw water. I want some. But she's still not perceiving really what he's talking about. Yeshua said unto her, go call thy husband and come here. Go call your husband and come here. Now, she's going to have to fess up some things. Okay? Because she's living a life not as a holy woman. Okay? But she's lost. And she's one of the lost sheep. So she's going to fess up to him, you know? You said, go get my husband. That's got to cause her some concern right away. And then Messiah tells her about herself. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. She has been married and divorced at least four times, married five times, and now living with a man, in a relationship with a man, but he's not her husband, so she's in a relationship where she's just fornicating, fulfilling a need, okay? For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I ain't tell you all that. How you know all that? I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers, and we got to underline this, worship in this mountain. The precept on the high places where Molech altars were built in the tops of the mountains. Asherahs were built in the groves, in the forest. Israel adopted this worship of Molech and building temples in the tops of mountains. Okay? And so she said, our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. The Israelites, those from the northern kingdom, practiced the worship of idols in the high places. Now, the truth of the matter is that Solomon at one time caused this to happen in the southern kingdom as well. But the northern kingdom continued this practice. And so she's used to worshiping up in the highest part of the mountain in the altars of Molech. Okay? Yeshua saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. because the Most High is going to do away with both of them. Why? Because Jerusalem had corrupted itself too. The priesthood had corrupted itself. Even Hezekiah, 400 or 500 years earlier, tried to set it straight, and he set it straight for a generation. The next generation went back to their old practices, always wanted to worship something other than the Most High, always wanting to worship Balaam or Baal and Asherah. They went back to it. And by the time that Messiah comes, they are still at it. But they are in a position that the Most High said he would not utterly throw away the southern kingdom. He's going to cause the southern kingdom to be scattered, just like he did with the northern kingdom. But he says, I'm going to bring the southern kingdom, because the southern kingdom and parts of the northern kingdom make up Israel. So a lot of the ones that escaped from the kings of Assyria that were in the northern kingdom, a lot of them also lived in the southern kingdom, and they were considered part of Judah, but part of greater Israel. The ones that were sent to, I think it's the Gihon River. I may have that river name wrong. It's with a G. I think it's Gihon or some river, that name. They never came back to the northern tribe. They never came back to the southern tribe. They were cut off. I am not your Elohim anymore, and you are not my people. The ones that I considered Israel are the remnant that escaped. They are Israel. They will represent Israel. And so Messiah sends the 70 out to these cities, and this woman hears the gospel through them. Messiah himself comes, because the 70, at least 2, 4, 6, or 8, 10, don't know how many, have been here already ahead of him. So let's continue to read. So he tells her, in this mountain, neither at Jerusalem, because once he dies, the spirit of the Most High will no longer dwell in the temple in Jerusalem, will no longer meet them there. And he hasn't been really meeting them there for 500 years. So the curtain in the temple is ripped from the bottom to the top. The Most High steps out. He is in the body of Messiah. He says, I'm no longer going to meet them there. I'm going to meet you through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to meet you from now on, which means I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm no longer going to dwell in a building made by men's hands. It was not supposed to be that way by design from the beginning. From the beginning, the Most High said, he said, David, how are you going to build me a house, seeing my hands have created all these things? He had already built a temple that he wanted in man, in you and I. So he says, you can build me a place, but the bottom line is, I already know that this building, you're going to corrupt it. And I already know that I've already made a place that where I choose to dwell at. It's in the hearts and minds of the true believers. That's where I'll choose to dwell. That's why the scripture says, know you not that you are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the temple of God, the temple of Elohim. This is where he desired to dwell in us the whole time. So he says, not at Jerusalem and not in this mountain. But these things are to come in the future, okay? You worship you know not what. You in the top of that mountain, you think you worshiping the Most High, but you really ain't worshiping him. You worshiping Baal. You call him the Lord. And you performing all the acts that he requires. That's why she had 5 husbands and living with another man. This was not uncommon for that society. We see the same thing within the U.S. today in a lot of Western societies, where they're saying, oh, it's okay to have sex before marriage. It's okay to get divorced and get remarried. All these things are okay, but they are not okay by the Most High. Never have been. Never what he has told his children to do. You don't have sex until you're married. And if you're married, you are. If you're a woman, you're married for life. If you're a man, you're married for life too. But if you want a second wife, you can have a second wife. But you better treat the first one like you treat the second one, or the third or the fourth. Better treat them the same. Okay, and so it was never intended. Divorce. He hates divorce. Never intended for it to be. So he tells her, you worship what you know not. For salvation is of the Jews. Okay. But the hour cometh and now is. The hour come and the hour now is. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not in a lie. That's why it's important what you believe. It's important what you know. It's important what you follow. You got to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in a half-truth, not in a lie. Because that will cause you to go to the lake. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Seek his face. Get the answers from him. So that you can worship him in truth. Walk in his way. Don't think that, oh, you know, Father, you know, you are just all merciful, all forgiving, all loving, all kind. And it don't matter what I do. No matter what I do, you will forgive me. You lied to yourself. That is not the Elohim of the Bible. That is not the Elohim of the book. That is not the Elohim as it is written. Most I said, I'm merciful to them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm not merciful to them that hate me and disobey me. I'm not merciful to them that intentionally disobey me. If you don't know and you do something, he says, I'm merciful. The day you learn about it, confess it, and I am true and just to forgive you. I always have. But I have not always forgiven willful sin. Matter of fact, I was against it 100%. But I allowed it one time under Messiah. I'm going to forgive your willful sin one time. And your willful sin are known as blasphemy. I'm going to forgive that one time. Not over and over and over again. It was not my nature to forgive it to begin with. So when you come to Messiah, I'm going to forgive it once. After that, you are accountable again. And if you sin willfully after that, there's no blood for that. There's no confession for that. Because you knew. So we got to understand his mechanism. So he said, hey, the time is coming when you're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's what the Father seeks. For those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Not think they're getting over. Let's continue. Verse 5. Elohim is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If Elohim is a spirit and Elohim is holy, then Elohim is the Holy Spirit. Period. Before he created anything, before he created the angels, he was a spirit. Before he created any of the angels or anything else, he was holy. Therefore, he is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. That's why you cannot blaspheme him directly. You cannot talk against him directly. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, will not be forgiven unto men in this world or the world to come. So it's important that you know who he is. I am the Ruach HaKodesh. I am the Holy Spirit, the Holy One of Israel. There is no other. And if you blaspheme me, then I won't forgive it. Not in this world and not in the world to come. You are just damned, period. Don't care who you are. Don't care how you did it, why you did it. It's not Brother Miles saying that. That's the Most High saying that. I'm not going to forgive you for that. Now, everything else, your blasphemy, when you intensely disobeyed me, I'm going to forgive that once. Then you're accountable from that point on. So I forgave you for it. You can come back to me with a clear conscience. I forgave you. So if you confess them all and repented of them and turned away, I forgive you. And you can have a relationship with me. But don't think that you can go and do that again and that I'm going to forgive you. It's not my nature. It's not my way. And to think otherwise is because somebody told you that because they were doing it. And they needed a way out, so they thought. But it's not what's written, okay? So Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming. How does she know? The 70 have gone before her. At least 2 have already been there speaking. They had to go before Messiah went there. That's word. Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he's going to put an end to all these things. He said, I know this, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he will tell us all things. Yeshua saith unto her, I that send unto you am he. I'm him. I'm the Messiah. He wouldn't tell the Pharisees that straight out. He wouldn't tell the scribes that straight out. He tells this woman of Samaria, I am the Christ. I that speak to you am he. I'm the Christ. I'm the Savior. I'm the Redeemer. This is a Hebrew Israelite woman, this woman of Samaria. She's one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Messiah reveals himself to her. He doesn't treat her like the woman from Canaan. He don't say, hey, I ain't supposed to be sharing the meat meant for the children. And she said, hey, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. He said, well, you know what, woman? I ain't seen nobody's faith like yours. All right, I will heal your son or you or whoever it was that he was healing. I'll do this thing that you asked because of your faith. But I'm not here for that reason. I come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so that's who he's dealing with now. And he's telling her who he is. Verse 27. And upon this came his disciples. Now his disciples come back. Remember, they were out buying meat. They left him alone with this woman. He reveals to this woman who he is. They return. And they still are in, they still have little understanding of what's going on. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman of Samaria. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? No man questioned him. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, she's heard about him because of the 70 that Messiah sent out. She goes back to the city that she's come out of. Sakar, hey, this man told me everything I ever did. Isn't this the Messiah? Isn't this Christ, the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And the men, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now, this is beautiful. They're telling him, we want you to eat. But what he says to them, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. The meat that drives them, the what gives them strength to continue going on, is the word of the Most High, fulfilling the wish of the Father. That's what gives them the drive. It's not the meat that he eats. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And it's the word of the Father. Okay. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Yeshua said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what drives me. That's what should drive you. This has to be your motivation, to do the will of him that has called you, that has sent you. That is what should keep you. And so this is what Messiah says. I have meat to eat that you don't know about. And that meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not you, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. I want you to, don't say the harvest comes in 4 months. Look, lift up your eyes and look on the field. Look at the people, for they are white already to harvest. Somebody has already come and told them about me. They are ready to be harvested. Now this woman, I tell her about her life, tell her I'm going to give her this living water, explain to her who Elohim is and that things are about to change. She goes and tells everybody in the city. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the same truth. One soweth and another reapeth. But somebody has already come and sowed in this place. And his disciples later are going to reap, because salvation is not going to even be released to these Samaritans yet. Salvation is not released until the day of Pentecost. But the groundwork has to be laid. So they hear of Messiah and they believe. Okay? But it's not time to reap them yet. That's why it says, one sows and another reaps. I may teach you and somebody else reap you. If that so be, then that's the way, that is the will of the Most High. Okay? I sent you to reap where I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. You didn't work here. You didn't spread no gospel. You didn't spread no truth. I sent you to reap where somebody else labored. Other men labor, and you are entered into their labor. So we got to understand that not all the time when somebody hears the word of the Most High that they will come right away. But that word has to sit in their heart and in their mind, and it has to marinate. And if they are truly called by the Most High, then somebody else may bring another message, a different message, and they reap based upon your labor. And it's all good, because guess what? The one that sows is not greater than the one that reaps, and the one that reaps is not greater than the one that sows. Neither one get the credit. Only the Most High gets the credit. The one that sows and the one that reaps are nobody. And we can read that in the book of Romans, I believe. We're nobody. It is the Most High that gets the credit. And we don't want to take his credit. because he's the one doing the calling. He's the one doing the saving. You know, we as people, even though we speak for the Most High, it's still his salvation. And if he calls and don't accept somebody, if he don't choose them, then you've done what you're supposed to do. See, a lot of times we get what I call the Messiah syndrome. Well, we think we are Messiah. I got to save you. No, it ain't your job to save nobody. It's your job to teach the gospel of the kingdom, to teach truth, and let it stand on its own. If Yah wants them to understand, he will give them understanding. If he wants them to understand and he calls them and he chooses them, he does that, not you, not me. He does that. And we have to let it stay where it's at. Okay. So he tells his disciples, hey, you are entering into someone else's labor. Somebody else came and taught this gospel. Somebody else came and told them about the kingdom of heaven. Somebody else came and told them about me. But you're going to reap from their labor when it's time, okay? And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans, this is not all of the Samaritans, but these are Hebrew Israelites. They are known as the Samaritans. They are a subsect of the Samaritans. Just like the people from Babylon are a subsect. The people from Katka are a subsect. The people of Sephardim are a subsect. So are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is who Messiah came to. This is who he revealed himself to. Okay? So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode 2 days, explaining the scriptures. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying. For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We know that this is who this is. For Yeshua himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. His own people wouldn't accept him. But the Samaritans did. The women, the Samaritans, the men and women who were Hebrew Israelites. Now, go to Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 8. All of this goes together, okay, so that you can teach people truth. Saul was consenting unto his Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. Now the church has been scattered where? Into Judah and Samaria. Samaria is the old northern kingdom. Why scatter the church there? Because the lost sheep are there. Okay? Except the apostles. So the Most High has filled people with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they are being persecuted, and they are being scattered. Okay. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, who we know as Paul, he made havoc of the church. He made a mess of the church. Paul had not been on the road to Damascus yet. He was persecuting the church. Entered into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. That is what Paul was doing. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. So they're scattered in Judea and Samaria doing what? preaching the word, but they're not being sent to the Gentiles in Samaria. They're only being sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel at this time. Then Philip went down to a city of Samaria, a city, and preached Christ unto them. Now, if this was the Gentiles, then this is when the gospel would have been released to the Gentiles, but it's not. Okay, these are only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that he's preaching the gospel to. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon. Now, Simon is a Hebrew Israelite. But he's practicing sorcery. Just like if you go back to Kings chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, you will find out that the Hebrew Israelites practiced sorcery. They learned it, and they practiced, and they taught it. Okay? He is continuing in that line, which before time, in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. I'm a mighty sorcerer. And he's saying that a God is using him. That is why it's important that you use the name of Elohim, because God is generic. Baal would be a God. Not the God, but a God. And when you say God, that's generic. Talking about Baal, you're talking about Yahweh, you're talking about Asherah, who are you talking about? Okay, so he claimed that his power came from God, okay, and that he was a great one, to whom they all heeded. Now the Samaritans paid attention to this, from the least to the greatest, saying this man is the great power of who? Elohim. They don't care what's Elohim. They use the generic term Elohim. God. And to him they had regard. They had respect. Because that for a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women. Now they have heard the gospel, and they have heard, and Philip has been healing them of the sorcery that Simon is doing. And Simon is tripping out like, how is this man doing this? What kind of power he got? I want some of that power. If he got the power to undo what I've been doing, I want some of that power. This is what's going through Simon's mind. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued. Now Simon believed and got what? Baptized? But Simon's going to lack something. And when he was baptized, he continued. Now, and I say this because a lot of people go through this process today. They hear the gospel, and they get baptized. But they got a Simon spirit. Okay? They got a Simon heart. He heard, he believed, he got baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. How are you doing this? Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, they got to know that the lost sheep are in Samaria. And they got to know that the Most High didn't say, I'm releasing the gospel to the Gentiles. So they come. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Why does Peter and John have to pray that the Samaritans who have heard the word and been baptized receive the Ruach HaKodesh? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. only they were baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. They were baptized in his name, but they were not filled with the Ruach. Simon hasn't been filled with the Ruach. None of these men and women have been filled with the Ruach. How could that? So they sent Peter and John. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Ruach HaKodesh, spoken tongues here. But how would Peter and John have known that these people got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh? Just like they heard them on in Acts chapter 10, when it's given to the Gentiles. Tongues are for a sign. It's the only sign that we're given, that you have been filled by the Ruach HaKodesh. Other than that, there's no sign. It's the only way that they would have known. When they laid hands on them, they began to prophesy and speak in tongues. It's not written here. That's the only way that they would know. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He didn't receive it. But hey, I want to buy some of this power. I want to buy this ability. In order for you to lay hands on somebody and for them to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, you have to have the Ruach HaKodesh. In order for that to work. That's why it's passed through the laying on of hands. It don't just happen 9 times out of 10 just by word alone. Don't say that it won't. Don't say that it can't. But 9 times out of 10 it doesn't. And so Messiah has told his disciples, you are going to reap where you have not labored. Here we see Stephen reaping where he did not labor. He came repeating what they had already heard. And it was time for the Ruach to be spread throughout Israel. Go to Acts chapter 10. Now, I'm going to give an overview of the first 40 some odd scriptures. Read them for yourself. Peter sees a vision. He's told he sees unclean animals in a scarf and a big sheet. He's told to get down, kill, and go eat. Not so. Nothing common or unclean has ever passed my lips. I'm not eating anything common or unclean. What I have declared to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. The Most High had told our forefathers that the Gentiles were unclean and that we should not associate. Don't marry within, don't associate. But now here comes the gospel, and I can no longer have you with that mentality. So what I decide and declare to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. He never told Peter that these foods were clean to eat. Peter figures it out later that, hey, oh, he's talking about the Gentiles. And that in every nation, those that fear the Most High are accepted with him. If they fear him, they will keep his commandments. In every nation. So he realizes this, okay? And he tells Cornelius, in every nation, those that fear Elohim and keep his commandments and work righteousness are accepted with him. So he realized that, hey, he's not talking about the food. He's not talking about the unclean animals. He's using them as an example. If I tell you that those same unclean animals that I told you not to eat, if I tell you that they are now clean to eat, who are you to say that they're not clean? So if I tell you to get down and go eat, boy, get down and go eat. I'm the one that told you they were unclean. And this is what he's trying to get through to him. He's got to tell him 3 times before he gets it. And he still don't get it until after he thinks about it. So he goes ahead and he comes to Caesarea. He comes to Cornelius' house. Okay. Let's pick this up in verse 40. Because now the gospel is going to be released to the Gentiles. Not in Acts chapter 8 or 9, Not in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. Not until Acts chapter 10. Okay? Let's actually start in verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Go there with me. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Because Peter had to think about this vision. God, I know you're not telling me to eat none of those dirty animals. But that's what you told me. Oh, wait a minute. But you're telling me to go to Caesarea with these Gentiles that have come to pick me up and don't fear anything. So you're talking about these Gentiles. You're not talking about the food. Okay, but they will take those verses and try to make it, oh, the Most High said these animals are now clean to eat. They still bring us in his nose. Just as before. Just because he came out with the gospel, all of a sudden, these animals and your sweat smell good to him, they don't. Now, people want to use those verses to do what they want to do. But the verses are symbolic or analogous, equating the Gentiles to the unclean animals. And I'm now going to take for me a people out of the Gentiles, and I'm going to clean them up. And they're going to be acceptable to me. And that was an analogy that Peter eventually got, understood. This is not what happened with the woman at the well. This is not what happened when Stephen, I believe that was who it was, went to the city of Samaria. That was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to any of the Assyrian transplant, not to the Sephardians or the Kassas or the Babylonians or anybody else that had transplanted there. That was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They went and spread the gospel. Now it's time that the Gentiles are saved, that the gospel of the kingdom is open to the Gentiles. Whole different function in a whole different time. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua HaMashiach, he is master of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. Galilee is in the northern kingdom, remember, after the baptism which John preached. That's where this thing started, in Galilee. Ended up in Jerusalem. Now it's coming to Samaria, to Caesarea, to the Gentiles. And how Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him Elohim raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of Elohim. I remember on the day of Pentecost, the Most High had Jews, devout Jews from every nation under earth present. But these were Jews. These were Hebrew Israelites. They were not Gentiles. Some of them could have been Gentiles, but they were no longer considered to be Gentile. Why? Because our law says, hey, if they accept the Most High and agree to keep his law, statutes and commandments, his ordinances, if the males are circumcised, then their whole families and them are to be considered one, as one homeborn in the land. So they were proselytes, and they were from another land, but they were not considered to be Gentiles anymore. They were considered to be as one in the land. Okay? That's who he got to be a witness. He didn't get the one that wasn't keeping the law. He didn't get the one that had moved away and chose to not be Hebrew Israelite anymore. They were still coming back for one of the feast days. In this case, they came back for Pentecost. And they were devout. They kept the law. And they heard all the disciples speak in a language that was not Hebrew. They heard them speak in a language where they were born at. I was born in Egypt. That's my homeland now. I'm still a Jew, but I come back to Israel because I worship the God of Israel. I was born in Mesopotamia. I was born in Greece. I was born wherever, everywhere but Jerusalem. And some of them were born in Jerusalem or in Israel. But most of them weren't. And they were the witnesses that I was doing. So now, he testifies of this. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of Elohim, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. Now they walked with him 40 days and 40 nights after he arose. Okay? And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick, the living, and the dead. When you read in Romans chapter 14, that's why I say Romans chapter 14 is a test. The Most High has already taught in his law what he expects. And when he says, when Messiah was alive on the earth before he died the first time, he said that Elohim was the Elohim of the living and not the dead. But when Messiah arose, Messiah was now the Elohim of the living and the dead. And so if somebody chooses life, they will obey Messiah. If they choose death, they will disobey him. He's still their God. He says, I'm going to pronounce righteous judgment on them, though. So if they refuse me, and when I pronounce sentence on them, I'm still their Elohim, but I'm still going to send them to the lake. If they did what I said to do, then I'm going to send them to life eternal in the kingdom. Or I'm going to send them to life in the lake. He's their Elohim. He's the Elohim of the quick, the living, and the dead. Okay? So you got a lot of Christians that claim to know Mashiach. Got a lot of people that say they believe and claim to know him. But they don't do what he says to do. They are still dead and don't know it. They are walking around claiming him as though they are alive, but they are dead still in trespasses and sins. So let's continue. Understand what he's saying here. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick, the living, and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. If you believe on him, then you got to listen to his words. You got to listen to what he says. And you got to understand what he says. And you got to take the totality of the gospel. You can't cherry pick and try to make one verse fight with another verse. You got to understand what the verses are saying in spirit and in truth, okay? So you receive the remission of sin when you believe on him and you do what he says to do. He says, how shall you love me and do not what I say to do? I didn't cancel out everything. I am the sacrifice for sin. So this is the way I told you I want you to do things. Do them that way with your whole heart. not with a piece of you, but with your whole heart. And if you love anybody or anything more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. You are not my disciple. I don't know what you are, but you don't belong to me. You're not my disciple. Cannot be, because I said I want your whole heart. I want you to do it with everything that you are. That's his word, not Brother Miles. So we have to do it that way. You shall receive remission of sin. If you do it that way, just because you say you love him, say you believe in him, know who he is, and do not what he say, those don't go together. They don't go together. And you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what he says to do. While Peter yet spake these words. Now, he's speaking the word of Elohim to them. While he yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Typically, you hear that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So people believe that, hey, I got to be baptized first, then I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit first, and then have to be baptized second. If Yah chooses you first, you might say, well, why the heck do I need to be baptized then? Because Messiah said, and Yah said, it's a requirement. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So in this case, we have the Gentiles being born of the Spirit first. They have not been baptized yet. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, this is six Hebrews that came with Peter from Joppa. They are of the circumcision, which believed were astonished. What? The Most High poured out the Ruach HaKodesh on the Gentiles? How did they know? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew. They did the exact same thing we did on the day of Pentecost. We spoke in tongues, they spoke in tongues. Other than that, we wouldn't know. Other than that, we would have no way of telling that the Most High accepted them. This is the sign. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid that these should not be baptized? There he got the Ruach HaKodesh. Still got to go through with that second part. Got to be baptized in the water, which receives the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized. He didn't ask. This is mandatory. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we see that Messiah told his disciples, hey, when you go out to the towns and you preach the gospel of the kingdom, consider it to be something so valuable that, hey, if people want to reject it, you don't turn around and keep trying to push it on them. Take off the dust of your shoes from them. Just say to them, hey, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you today, and you rejected it. You did your part. And then when it's time, the Most High does the choosing. Whether we are Jew or Gentile, the Most High does the calling. The Most High does the choosing. You just have to do what you're supposed to do. Teach them the gospel of the kingdom in truth and in spirit. Don't be afraid to, because the world will come against it, because they want to walk in their ways. They want a conversionless salvation. I don't really want to have to change. So they'll say that they believe, and they'll say that they love Messiah, and they believe the gospel. But the truth of the matter is, you should see the signs. If you baptize them, you should see the sign. Other than that, you're going to have to take their word. Did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know? Most of them were told by somebody, oh, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. But saw no sign of it. Just told that they got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. And that person running around like a chicken with their head cut off, believing that they are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Because somebody said it. But if I were you, I would want to know that I know. That I know. Y'all give me the same sign you gave to the apostles. Give me the same sign you gave to the Gentiles. Give me the same sign that you said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that I should see. Tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. The them in that scripture is those who have already been saved. Peter had already been saved. How was he to know that that Cornelius them were going to be saved? How were the other Jews that were with him to know that the Gentiles had been saved? Just like we were saved, or we heard them speak in other tongues. We saw the sign. So we have to understand that Messiah said, hey, you may reap from the labors of somebody else. But don't think that you are somebody because somebody may come to Yah. If Yah don't want them to come, I don't care what you say to them, they ain't coming. If he don't want them to come, if Yah didn't choose them, I don't care what you say to them, he didn't choose them. You can't make him choose them. We got to believe the entire word. Many are called, few are chosen. Who's doing the calling and who's doing the choosing? We know that that's Yah. You just have to understand this gospel and teach it as he intended it to be taught. I'm going to say it this way. Don't give people wiggle room because people will wiggle. And they'll find a way to wiggle around the true gospel. They'll try to receive a conversionless salvation. They'll try to choose that which is easy. They'll try to bring in their worship of other deities when none of these things are allowed. When none of these things are allowed. The Most High doesn't like it. He never has. So we as his children, as we watch what Messiah does, when we start talking about the kingdom, the examples that he gave of the kingdom, then it's for those who are saved. None of this stuff matters to the person that's not saved. Your hope is in your salvation. And your salvation comes through Mashiach. So the parables given, the warnings given, are to the saved, not to the unsaved. And that should be your strength that you walk in. You can't save anybody but yourself. We might want to save our children. We might want to save our parents. We might want to save our grandparents. We might want to save our friends. We can't save anyone. Those that the Most High wants to save, he will save. You cannot stop doing your job because, well, yeah, I wanted this one to be saved, and you didn't save them. They keep doing the same thing, and maybe one day they'll come around. Maybe one day they will, but that won't be on you. You've already planted. You already sowed. Somebody else may come years later and water. Maybe at that time Yah chooses them. That ain't up to you or me. It's up to Yah. And when we accept that, then just telling the gospel becomes easy. The good news becomes easy. It ain't my job to save you, but it is my job to tell you about the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You want to enter in? Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Truly turn from them. This is what sin is. Sin is not a red dress unless you're using it to hook in. Sin is not red lipstick unless you're using it to kiss people that ain't your husband. Stop going by what the world says. Go by what the Most High says. Stop teaching for the commandments the doctrine of men. Because men will make up things that make it easy. Make it easy to be saved, and you be walking around thinking you're saved, and you're not. It's simple, yet it's complex. But once you commit to it, it's very simple. Just do what the Most High says. Don't add to it or take away from it. Do exactly what he says. Don't throw no other Elohim in there. Don't throw what science says because they use it as an Elohim. Don't throw what tradition says because people will make up things to satisfy their own self. Written. Learn what is written. So on next week, we will start looking at the kingdom of heaven and what Messiah taught about the kingdom of heaven. He's telling us, this is what you have inherited. This is what they lose. He's also telling you that, hey, when I come back, I'm not going to be that lamb. And if you're going to be with me, if you desire to reign with me, you're not going to be a lamb either. Right now, do what I did. Offer them salvation. That's your job. It's not your job to judge. It's your job to offer salvation. And if they mess up and they fall, offer them salvation. If they refuse it, knock the dust off your feet. Well, I hope you receive it. God, I hope you receive it. God, I hope that Yah selects you. I hope that you repent enough that Yah says, okay, I want you now. But you can't save them. You can't make nobody do nothing. You can only suggest. And if they don't do it, that ain't your problem. You gave them your best advice. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Peace and blessings to you all.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? All about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
All right, we'll tell her. All right, so long.